All right, first of all, you gotta love some Shrek, right? Like, it's never a bad time to watch Shrek. Donkey's awesome. And the cool thing about Donkey, if you've ever seen Shrek, any of the Shrek episodes, is that Donkey likes to talk, right? He's always talking. He's got a big mouth and a strong jaw. And there's something strong about a donkey jaw that we're gonna see tonight. So I was like, hey, why not show the video? We're talking about Samson. Anyone know what Samson did? Some like big, awesome feat that he's responsible for as we're talking about epic battles in Scripture? Anybody know? Oh, their hands up. I just can't see them. Yeah. He did. He took a donkey jaw and he killed a whole bunch of people. We're about to see that tonight. So I said, why not watch Shrek? So anyway, that reminded me of our passage tonight. Nothing spiritual. That one's free. Just thought we'd watch it. So if you guys will open up, we're in Judges tonight, chapter 15. Judges 15. And remember, we're walking through this series called Fortnite, which we're looking at epic battles in Scripture because there's some crazy, awesome battles in the Bible. Some things that are unbelievable, but real. Absolutely true. And so the one we're up to tonight is Samson. And Samson, man, whew, what a story this guy has. We've seen God show up for the people of Israel in ways where they didn't even have to fight, right? They're leaving Egypt. We'll just kind of review for a second. They're leaving Egypt. They don't even pull a sword out. God splits the sea in half, kills all the Egyptians, right? Then they're off to Jericho, and all they have to do is march around Jericho and blow some trumpets and yell, and all of a sudden the walls crash down on their enemy, and they go in and finish them off. There's this one battle we looked at with Moses, and he's raising his staff up to God, and when he does that, the people win. And when he puts it down, the people start to lose. And God's reminding them, battle after battle after battle, that it all depends on God. And so as we walk through this series, hopefully after 14 weeks of hearing the same kind of theme run through all of these lessons, we'll end this series realizing something really important. Your whole life depends on God. See, the point of each of these things was so that the people of Israel, God's people, His chosen people, would learn to have faith in their God. And so as you come tonight, as you're sitting here, before we kind of start digging into the Word, I want you to just stop for a second, calm yourself down, and think, how much faith am I placing in God tonight? If I tell people at church that I have faith in God, if I raise my hand, one of my youth pastors says, hey, are you saved? Do you believe in Jesus? And we raise our hands, how much faith are you really placing in God? Does it go just beyond words? Or is it just something that we say, but then when a trial comes or a challenge from God comes where He says, hey, Rob, I want you to go do this. I'm like, where's the faith now? How deep is your faith in your Savior? And wherever you end up on that spectrum, as you sit here and just kind of look at yourself for a second, will you just pray quietly in your heart right now, God, give me more. God, give me more faith. I might have more faith than everybody in this room, but it's not enough. God, give me more. That should be your prayer tonight. And we're going to see a guy tonight, Samson, who said a lot. The dude knew how to talk. And the words came out of his mouth talking about how much good stuff, how many good things he did for God. But when it came down to it, and Samson's heart's revealed, we find a lack of faith. And so will you guys look there with me tonight? It's Judges chapter 15. We're going to start in verse 9. And let me give you a little background before we hit this on who Samson is. All right, so this dude was called. There was a prophecy over this guy that he was going to be a judge of Israel, a protector of Israel. You see, Israel was ruled by God. They didn't have a king. They didn't have like governors and leaders and all this. They had God as their king. It's called a theocracy. And so during this time, God chose these different people called judges to stand up for Him and to kind of be their general, to protect them. And so Samson was one of these guys. And so he took this vow called a Nazarite vow. And what that means is he vows to God. God says, I will empower you, I'll call you, I'll help you do this, but we're making a vow together. Your side of the deal is this: you're not going to ever cut your hair. You'll let your hair grow. You're not going to drink or eat of the fruit of the vine, grapes. You're not going to touch any of that or drink it. And you're not going to touch dead things. If it's dead, you don't touch it. Those are my rules. Those are the things I'm asking of you to do. And I'll give you this incredible strength. And so as Samson grows, he gets this awesome strength from God. The Holy Spirit empowers him to do unbelievable things, stories that you and I would talk about, like Hercules or Superman would be a comparison for us. But this was the real deal. Like, this is real life, historical record that Samson had this incredible strength, empowered by God himself to do unbelievable things for God. And he had this vow that he just had such a hard time keeping. See, because Samson, in his day, they were told not to marry foreign women. Because these foreign women worshipped other gods, and they didn't share the same faith. But Samson really liked the ladies. And he really liked these foreign ladies. And at the time, they were being ruled by these people called the Philistines. And they had this god, it was the fish god, named Dagon. And Dagon was who this woman worshipped, but she was so beautiful. And Samson just wanted to be with her so bad. And so Samson keeps breaking God's rules. And he's struggling keeping this vow, his Nazirite vow, before God. And that's where the story picks up. He finds this woman he loves. He gets promised by her father to marry her. And then all of a sudden he gets there to marry her, and her dad had given her away to some other dude. And so Samson's mad. He's like, okay, I see how this is. He goes off, and this is a crazy part of the story, but he finds these foxes, and he ties torches around their tails, and he releases these foxes into the crops, the fields of these Philistines. And as they run through the fields with the fire behind them, scaring them so they run even more, it just burns down all their crops. So these people are ticked off. They're so upset, and they show up here in Judges 15:9 looking for revenge against Samson. All right, so check it out. Judges 15:9, it says, "Then the Philistines came up and encamped in Judah and made a raid on Lehi. And the men of Judah said, 'Why have you come up against us?' They said, 'We've come up to bind Samson, to do to him as he did to us.'" They're coming up for revenge. See, all they wanted to do was get revenge on this dude who was the supposed leader of Israel. This guy who was supposed to be leading them, not just physically, but spiritually as their judge. And they said, "You know what you just did to us? You just burned down all our crops. Here we are tonight. We want this dude because we want to kill him. We want our revenge." Look what it says next. It says, "Then 3,000 men of Judah went down to the cleft of the rock of Edom and said to Samson," you got 3,000 dudes rolling up on you, 3,000 soldiers to talk to one guy. They may have been a little nervous about the conversation. They had heard what Samson could do, his strength, his power. It was unbelievable. So they're like, "Let's get all the boys together on this one. Let's get the whole band down there and let's talk to him." So 3,000 men from Judah go and say, "Hey, Samson, do you not know that the Philistines are rulers over us? Like, these dudes conquered us. We're basically their slaves. Like, these guys are over us right now. We don't want to make them mad. We don't want to do something that have them kill us. And you're off burning their fields, trying to marry their daughters, breaking all the rules. You're supposed to be our leader. What are you doing? What kind of example are you setting?" And look what they want. "What then is this that you've done to us? You haven't just done this to yourself. You didn't just get yourself in a mess. You did this to us. You got all of us in trouble. They want to kill all of us." And he said to them, check out what Samson says, "As they did to me, so have I done to them." You know how we could say that today? They deserved it. They deserved what was coming to them. Glad I did it. So here come 3,000 dudes to say, "Samson, they're going to kill us and it's your fault. Make this thing right." And he's like, "They deserved it." Can you hear the arrogance in his voice? This leader of God, so arrogant and prideful and self-obsessed. He just seemed to love himself so much. And I bet he had a lot of reason to. Like, he did really well with the ladies. He was a big, strong dude. He was more athletic than all the dudes, so they all looked up to him. The ladies all liked him. Like, there wasn't much that Samson didn't have in life. And so he started to think a lot about himself. Man, I'm I'm pretty good stuff here. Everybody looks up to me. Everybody likes me. It's funny what arrogance does to you and me. It's funny how we change, how our hearts change when we start to think a lot about ourselves. We start to get friends that think a lot about us. Teachers that pat us on the back. Parents that are really proud of us. Get good grades. We have a lot of friends. We have all this stuff going on. We do well at our sport. And all of a sudden, it's just our heads just start to blow up so big. This popularity starts to grow in our hearts, this desire to continue to be more popular. Get more praise from people. And all along the way, as we continue to better ourselves, we forget that the praise belongs to Jesus. It doesn't belong to us. Our hearts crave it so much, we look like Samson. Just wants more praise, thinks he can say whatever he wants to anyone and do whatever he wants to get what it is he wants the most. And so here he is tonight, and these guys are like, hey, listen, this isn't going to work. You're putting us in danger here. Samson needs to learn a really important lesson right now. And I think you and I could kind of learn that same lesson with him. I think it's safe to say each of us could benefit from this, that to truly walk with God, you must surrender yourself to Him. And if you surrender yourself, that means you're falling more in love with Him than you are with yourself. You're seeking His will over your own. Or you're not really surrendered. You're playing a game like Samson played. He wants everyone to think he's this great leader of God. You hear him talk and he's like, look what I did for God. Look at these amazing things I was able to do for our Lord. And then he lives so self-obsessed. It's easy to walk into churches nowadays, unfortunately, and see that. You see people that are out serving and doing things in the name of the Lord and serving at church, but really in behind the whole scenes in your heart, you're doing it so you feel better about yourself. You're doing it so other people pat you on the back. Because when it comes down to it, you want the glory for it. That's not true Christianity. That's not truly surrendering your heart and your life and the whole deal to God to say, this isn't about me. This isn't about a platform or a stage or people applauding. This is about the Savior, Jesus Christ, who died for you and I. Period. He deserves the praise. Samson couldn't get it through his head. And so here he is making a lot about himself, even in this situation. It says this, they said to him, we've come down to bind you. I want to tie him up, that we may give you into the hands of the Philistines. Like, we're binding you up and we're turning you over to these guys. And Samson said to them, swear to me that you won't attack me yourselves. They said to him, no, we'll only bind you and give you into their hands. We'll surely not kill you. So they bound him with two new ropes and brought him up from the rock. Here's Samson again. Plotting. Okay, you know what you do? Get two new ropes. Tie me up with the new ropes. I won't have any strength anymore. That will take my strength away. And I'll give myself over to surrender to them as long as you guys promise. Just don't kill me. He's faking it. He knows that's not true. He's lying to these guys. Bring me to them. You know why? Because it plays out in his plan. Oh, perfect. You're going to march me in right in the middle of them, and they're going to think I'm helpless. And then I'll get my revenge. Even in trying to do something that everybody thought was this great thing for God, he's going to defend us. He's going to sacrifice himself. I can hear the people, yeah, go Samson. And all along the way, he's lying. All along the way, he's thinking about his own plans and his own popularity and his own self-esteem. It's funny that Samson is such a faker, just putting on an act. And it says, when he came to Lehi, the Philistines came shouting to meet him. Then the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him, and the ropes that were on his arms became as flax that had caught fire, and his bonds melted off his hands. He shows up, Philistines are there. Immediately, the Holy Spirit comes upon Samson. Promise of God, this covenant Even though Samson had been messing up and breaking this promise and breaking his covenant and his vows over and over, God's still gracious. He's still forgiving. He's still being patient with Samson. It's like, the dude doesn't deserve it, God. And no sooner does it come out of my own lips than I have to say, neither do I. God, I don't deserve your grace and your forgiveness and your patience over and over on me. Well, here's another reminder that God is so good to have grace on you and me. That in our brokenness, in our humanity, God still looks down and he's patient and he's forgiving. No matter what you've done, no matter how bad you've messed up, no matter how hard your heart is tonight as you sit in this room, if that's you, God's still looking at you with love and forgiveness. If you can look at a dude like Samson, I know he can look at each of us and go, I forgive you. I'm still working through you. It's the craziest thing that God can look at sinners and still love us in our sin. And so the Holy Spirit comes on him still. And the dude doesn't die. The dude is obviously able to break his chains. His bonds come off. And he's standing there in front of these dudes who all came down to kill him. And they're pretty shocked. Like, oh, wait a minute. This isn't how we thought this thing was going to roll. We thought we were about to kill you. There's a good and a bad in this. It's almost like sweet and sour. You know, it's this hard thing to understand the story of Samson because there's so much sin in him. And yet God has so much grace on him. It makes God look so good. And Samson, he gets to be the recipient of God's grace, even in his mess. I'm so grateful for that because I need it, guys. I need that. I need God's grace. I need him to forgive me. And while I don't want to be like Samson in any way, and he's not a role model, it's not good that I'm like, all right, I can mess up all I want. You'll still be gracious, God. He's not saying that, but how good is he to still forgive us? How good was he the day that he showed up to your heart when you sat there and recognized that Jesus was your Savior? And you took this broken, dead heart and gave it to God, and he took it and he handed you life, eternal life back. A miracle took place the moment you placed your faith in Jesus, and it took place in your heart. It's because God is so gracious. And so here's something I see about Samson in a positive light. You know, he was, even though he had his stuff going on, he was willing to step out. When God called him, he was willing to say yes. And it makes me think, like, how often God's calling me to do things. You want your faith to grow in Jesus? I hear that so often from teenagers. They'll catch me after FCA and be like, how do I make my faith grow? I say, step out. Ask God to do God-sized things in your life. When he calls you to do something that's bigger than you, say yes. It's going to force your faith to grow in him because you can't do it. It's not something you're capable of. You have to lean on God and trust him to do this thing. For most of us, you know, that'll just simply mean that like we're handing over strongholds of sin in our life. It's not even like, hey, I want you to go kill 1,000 men with a donkey jaw, which we're going to see in a minute. That's not what God said. It might not be, I want you to go split an ocean in half. It might just be, hey, remember that sin? You know that junk you look at on your computer when you go home and you sneak off to your room? That filth you're looking at night and you can't stop. It's like this addiction and you keep going back to it. You need to give that up. Now you gossip every time people turn their back. You're already talking trash about them. Maybe you need to give that up. You know how you're just a bully and you're mean? You need to give that up. We can go on and on. The lists of sin in our lives is so, so long. And for most of us, to step out in faith just means that we'll say, God, here, take this sin, this thing I'm addicted to in my life. I think so much about myself. I'm so prideful. God, my step of faith is saying, here, take my pride. Maybe that's the huge thing that God's calling you to step out in faith in. And for some of you, maybe it is some scary stuff. Maybe he's saying, hey, I want you to go all the way over to China or Africa or wherever, to be a missionary. You know that dream you had of being a lawyer and having all these kids? And having, I want you to give that up and I want you to go. Like, no way. Who knows? I don't know what God's doing in you, but I do know this. He's doing something. And he's calling you to something. And the way your faith grows is by stepping out to these God-sized requests and saying, yeah, Lord, okay, I'll go. And you trust him with it. So God says, here, I want you to take out this whole army by yourself, Samson. He's like, okay, here I go. That's the type of faith you and I need to place in Jesus, knowing that he knows best and wants what's best for us. Surrender requires faith. But it's a funny thing because faith requires surrender. They both need each other. You have to believe that God is who he says he is to surrender, but you have to surrender to believe it. Samson just wasn't quite there. Look at what it says next. He found a fresh jawbone. He just got out of his chains or his bonds, right? He finds this fresh jawbone, this donkey that just died. It's this nasty, like fleshy thing that's like sitting in his jawbone of donkey. And he puts out his hand and he took it. And with it, he struck 1,000 men. So he kills 1,000 dudes with a donkey's jawbone. That's pretty crazy, right? That's some kung fu movie right there for you. Except here's the problem with that. He wasn't supposed to touch dead stuff. So even in like doing this crazy, awesome feat, full of the Holy Spirit, with God empowering him to do it, he still manages to break his vow in the middle of it while doing it. How insane is that? It's like, in my mind, it's always kind of black and white when I think through this stuff like this. Like, you're either doing wrong or you're doing right. But when I see Samson, I see him doing right, full of the Holy Spirit, it says. Yet, while doing it, sinning, breaking his vow, grabbing this dead jawbone of a donkey when he's not supposed to touch dead things. And that's the instrument he's using to serve God. This dude's so messed up. And so am I. And so are you. The truth is, we are broken sinners. And the second we think we're any better than Samson, we're lied to. We're lying to ourselves. We need the Holy Spirit just as much as Samson does. We need the forgiveness of God and his grace just as much as Samson does. And there he goes, and he kills 1,000 men. 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey. Didn't we see this before, a similar thing like with Gideon? Like both of them had this problem, right? They were shining examples of God's, just his patient grace on imperfect men. They were both so imperfect in what they did. Gideon was testing God, not having the faith he needed because he was timid and shy. And here's Samson over here, same problem, the same pride, but his pride led him to think too much of himself. And Gideon was led to think not enough of God. You and I fall in one of those two traps. I don't know where you are tonight. You're just not trusting God enough. Or maybe you're just thinking too much of yourself. I feel like I'm over here one day and over here the next. That's how my life rotates. And constantly I'm having to fall on my knees before Jesus every morning and say, God, will you protect me today? Protect me from pride? Because remember that a heart full of pride has no room for faith. If your heart is full of pride, there's no room for faith to jump in there because it's too full of yourself and not enough of God. Start saying yes to the things that God's calling you to do because you know he is the one that can do it, all right? Then Samson says afterwards, he does this awesome feat. He kills 1,000 dudes with the jawbone of a donkey. And then he says this. Listen how he ruins everything he does. Next he says, and Samson said, with the jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps, talking about dead bodies, with the jawbone of a donkey have I struck down 1,000 men. And as soon as he had finished speaking, he threw away the jawbone out of his hand, and that place was called Ramath Lehi. The dude couldn't even finish what he was doing without bragging. Look what I did. Not, hey, my God is so strong and so big and so awesome, you guys have to hear the story about what God just did. Instead, he says, I just killed 1,000 dudes with a jawbone of a donkey, bro. Like, can you believe this? Look what I did. And there's his pride. Head big again. God shows up, and instead of him looking at God saying, "You are awesome," he goes, "Look at me. Look at what I can do." You and I need to face a fact here. You and I live in a time and a place right now where that is all we're fed. You're told to do it. You're taught to do it. If you don't do it, you are somehow failing in the American culture. If you're not telling people how good you are and the things you're accomplishing and all the awesome stuff you're getting better at, guess what? You must be failing. If you're not posting it all over Instagram and Facebook, all the awesome stuff about yourself, guess what? You must be a failure. You can't even live in our culture today without being a boastful jerk. It's what we're trained to do. And if we don't learn this lesson from Samson, if we don't let the truth of God cut through that pride that we are taught from day one, we'll end up just like Samson. That's not where God wants you. I've been asking a lot every week, right? How many of you guys believe in Jesus and you're raising your hands? Those people who keep raising your hands, don't go there. Don't end up like Samson. You're raising your hand because you're saying you want to follow Jesus, a man who laid himself on a tree for others, a man who became the greatest servant of all when he gave his life for you and I who don't deserve it, a man who showed us what humility really truly looks like. That's where Jesus wants to lead you. Not into a culture that's constantly boasting and bragging about how wonderful you are. Why don't we start boasting and bragging all the time about how great our God is? What if you went to school and instead of talking about how great you did in the game, you talk about how good your God was? What if after you get that 125 on your test because you got all the extra credit and you gave an apple to your teacher, you said, "Look how good my God is." And you meant it. You really meant it in your heart because you are absolutely in love with Him and convinced that He's that good. How would that change your life? It ends by saying this. Look what, after he finishes bragging, his little brag session, it ends with this. "And he was very thirsty." He just killed 1,000 dudes. He took the jawbone of a donkey. He kills 1,000 guys. That's a lot of hard work. And so Samson's like, "I'm thirsty." He was very thirsty. And he called upon the Lord and said, "You've granted me this great salvation by the hand of your servant," bragging about himself again, "your servant, this guy right here, and shall I now die of thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised?" God split open the hollow place that is at Lehi, and water came out from it. When he drank, his spirit returned, and he revived. Therefore, the name of it was called En-Hakkore. Say that a bunch. It is at Lehi to this day, and he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. You know what he does immediately after? "Hey God, what about me? I just killed 1,000 men for you. Like, you just used your servant. Look at what I just did, and now I'm going to die of thirst here? Thanks a lot. Thanks for looking out for me, God." And you know what God does? If I were God, man, it would be like, like lightning bolt, that dude, he's done. I'm sick of your attitude. He was like, "Here, let me give you some water." He breaks the rock open so Samson can drink, constantly showing him, it's not you. Samson, yeah, I did that through you, and now you're thirsty and you're going to die, because guess what? You still need me. I'm still providing the water, providing the air that's in your lungs and the heart that's beating in you. It's all about me. And that's what he's doing for you tonight. We're sitting here because God wants you here. Your heart's beating because he wants it. You're breathing his air. Everything in our lives depends on Jesus. And the second you start thinking you're good and you don't need him is the second you will fall just like Samson. Now, something crazy, right? So this is a cool battle because one dude killed 1,000 people with the jawbone of a donkey. But if you continue in the story, Samson goes on, he falls in love with this other chick named Delilah, who's also a Philistine, and sets up her little idols to Dagon in the house and all this deal. she finally convinces him to tell his secrets about his vow. And he breaks the last part of his vow, cuts his hair. You guys probably know this part of the story. This is the famous part. Once that final vow was broken, he loses all his strength. And so all these soldiers come in and they tie him up and they drag him out. They cut his eyes out. Imagine if your eyes cut out and he has no strength to fight back. They beat him. They do all this horrible stuff to him. Finally, they pull him out and they tie him up in this place where they have this huge party that's going on to their God. And they're like putting him on parade. Like, look at this loser. We finally beat him. And as he's standing there blind and tied up against these pillars, leaning there because he's so weak, he says, God, just give me one last moment of strength to make this thing right. The Holy Spirit fills him and pushes the pillars over and it collapses on his enemy. But I wouldn't say that this is a happy ending. I wouldn't say that this is a dude who stood up and he lived in faith for God. I would say he's an example of God's grace on us when we're not faithful. An encouragement to say, maybe God's calling you to step out in faith tonight. He's calling you to say, God, you're way more valuable than anything else in my life. To stop complaining about the little things that God just hasn't provided for me. Where's my water, Lord? And start saying, I can't believe you saved me. I can't believe you love me this much. You've forgiven me this much. And you've been this good to me. I can't believe I can sit in an air-conditioned room tonight, surrounded by my friends, instead of stuck in some prison somewhere in another part of the world. God, thank you for your grace. Will you recognize tonight that He is everything? And He deserves all the glory. You guys bow your heads and close your eyes for just a second. The story of Samson is pretty intense. I get it. It's not like this happy story where we walk out feeling like these warm fuzzies in our heart. But I do hope that God's speaking to some people tonight. When I studied this week and I was looking through there, man, God had so many things to tell me about Rob Jones and how I need to believe more on him and have less pride in my heart. And there's so many believers in this room, and I just want to offer to you a moment for me to pray for you. If you just want to say, God, like, there's still room for you to do some work in me. I might not be some mass murderer, but God, I still want more faith. I want it. I crave it. I want to believe more in you and glorify you. If that's you tonight, will you just let me pray for you? Will you slip your hand up in the air? Like, Rob, I'm a lot like you tonight. I see your hands. Keep them up. Anybody else? Just raise your hand and say, that's me. Like, pray for me. I want more faith. Yeah, thank you guys for being honest. I'm going to pray for you in just a second. You can put your hands down. Maybe you're here tonight and you're like, man, I've never experienced this grace you're talking about from Jesus. God sent His only Son to earth to die for my sin, to forgive me. Maybe tonight you want that. You want to know Jesus. You want God to forgive you, to be made right, to have eternal life in Him. If that's you tonight and you don't know where you would go tonight if you were to die, will you just slip your hand up and say, Rob, pray for me? I want to know that. I want to know I'm right with God. I want to experience that grace, that forgiveness you're talking about. Will you just slip your hand up so I can pray for you tonight? It's right where you're at. You don't have to go nowhere. Just slide it up and say, hey, pray for me. That's me tonight. Awesome. I saw your hand. Thank you. Let me pray right now for you guys to raise your hands. Father, we can't do anything without you. And God, you're so good. I want to tell you right now publicly, we love you. We thank you for what Jesus has done for us. That the greatest news is that we can have eternal life through your Son, Jesus Christ. That you still forgive people like us. God, hear us when we say thank you tonight. We help those who raise their hands. God, give them boldness and strength to step out and do the things you're calling them. To trust you most. Grow their faith in you. Cause them to step out in faith and say, Jesus, yes, I'm going because you called. Father, will you help those who raise their hand tonight and said, I don't even know the grace of Jesus. I haven't been saved, but I want to know more. God, will you bring them in contact with a leader tonight or with myself, that they, before they leave here tonight, they would finish that conversation. They'd have the courage to say, I need to know that. I want to know where I'm going when I die before I leave this place tonight. Jesus, we love you so much. Be glorified in all we say and do tonight. It's in your name we pray.